me to Galatians chapter 4. And if you need a Bible, raise your hand. One of our ushers would love to give you a Bible. We can give it to you to either borrow for the day or you can take it home with you if you need to do that. We've got a few hands up here in the front. Galatians chapter 4. And I'm going to say thank you to Pastor Michael for doing a great job last Sunday. Amen. But we're going to get back today in our series. As you look at the screen, you see we're in week 3 of a 4-week series called The Big Picture. And the idea here is that it really gets easy to get locked into what's right in front of us. Day by day, week by week, we're going, we're working, we're taking care of the kids, we're taking care of our work, you know, we're paying the bills, we're going here, going there, doing stuff. And we kind of can get lost. The big picture can get lost. Now, you add to that the fact that now we're entering into the holiday season and life gets even crazier and even busier. And we have a saying in our culture. See, I want you to finish it with me. We say that we can't see the forest for the trees. And so this series, we're kind of pulling back and not just seeing just the trees, but the whole forest. What's the big picture? Even as you hold your Bible, what's the big picture? I mean, how do we kind of summarize it? What's going on? How can we understand not just, you know, the individual verses or the chapters or the books, but if you had to summarize the Bible into kind of 4 words or 4 events or 4 big landmarks, I believe as you look at the screen, this is a good way to do it. That God created everything, that man fell and sinned, and sin ruined everything, that today we'll talk about redemption, that Jesus came and died to pay for everything, and then lastly, restoration. One day, Jesus is returning to make everything new. Can you say amen if you're excited about that? So my goal is, as you pay attention to the series, as we go through it, you would be able to grab a hold of these 4 words and understand it for yourself, but also, this is great, to be able to share with a friend. You can take out a napkin at a restaurant or take out an envelope at, you know, back of an envelope and say, you know what, I want to explain to you in 4 words kind of the big picture. God created everything, man fell, Jesus came to redeem everything, and one day he's coming back to restore everything. Amen. And you have a pretty good handle on what the big picture is. And so I think it's a great series for us. I want to also let you know that this is good news. It's good news. And, you know, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the fall, and that wasn't really good news. But today, we're going to talk about redemption, which is excellent news. So the first word there, creation. Every culture, every human probably has imagined and wondered this question, where did I come from? Looked up at the stars and say, where did this world come from? What's going on? The fall, people would ask the question, why are things the way they are? Why is our world broken? Why are there wars? Why are there famines? Why is there, you know, bad things happen to people? Well, because mankind fell. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about the fall. Let me just kind of remind you about that. The breadth of the fall. It wasn't just that they, you know, sinned and it was a big deal. They went from having fellowship with God to hiding behind fig leaves. They went from life in a garden to death outside the garden. They had intimacy and joy with God. Now, after they sinned, it was replaced with guilt and blame. God said, Eve, you'll have pain in childbirth. Adam, you'll fight for your food. There'll be weeds. There'll be thorns. And what was work that was enjoyable has now become toil that you're not going to enjoy. We saw that also even creation came under a curse. And the world itself is cursed and because of the sin of man. And probably the best summary of what happened at the fall is that everything is broken. Everything's broken. It just is. I mean, our sin has affected this world to such a point that everything is broken. Relationships, our health, you know, the environment, everything is just not what it ought to be because of the sin that we have committed. Now, it's hard for us to wrap our minds around that because this is all we've ever known. We've never known the world to be perfect. It's like I said last time, it's like, does a fish even know it's wet? I mean, a fish only knows water. And if you ask a fish to describe water, it'd say, what do you mean? It's all I know. And we live in this world, and all we know is a world like it is today. But I'm here today to tell you that one day, we'll talk about it next week, one day Jesus is going to return, and he is going to restore everything to perfection. Aren't you looking forward to that day? But that's next week. Let's talk about redemption today. That's our thought today. Remember that after the fall, if God didn't love us, he could have just walked away. If God, you know, when Adam and Eve fell, God could say, you know what? If that's what you're going to do, you've decided to disobey me, you've decided to go your own way, I'm just going to walk away. I'm just going to destroy what I've made. Maybe I'll start over. Maybe I'll do something different. But it was only because God loved us that he didn't give up on us. And that's good news. Now, today's word is redemption. It's a beautiful Bible word that describes what God did for sinful, fallen man. He redeemed us. And I want you to write this down. What does the word redemption mean? Redemption, to redeem means to buy back something. To buy back something. So when you redeem something, you're buying it back. We sang about it this morning, the very first song you might remember. My Redeemer lives. Amen. It's a good Bible word that talks about what God did through Jesus on the cross. Now we have an illustration, and I'll hold it up this morning. You know, when you go to the grocery store and buy a bottle of water, you might remember that on that bottle, for some reason the label is off this one, but most bottles have a label that says California CRV. Remember that? California Redemption Value. So when you buy this, you pay an extra 5 cents, and the idea is that you can bring it back somewhere and get your what? 5 cents back, right? Now, we don't have this. We moved here from Washington about 3 years ago, and we didn't have this. And so I got kind of excited. I thought, man, I'm going to collect all my bottles and cans. And after a while, I had a couple bags. I thought, I'm going to bring them back, and I'm going to be rich. That was my retirement plan right there. I'm going to just cash these puppies in. I had 2 bags of bottles, and I brought them in, and I waited in line for about an hour and a half. I got $5.48 back. I mean, it's like, what's going on? And so, I mean, but we understand the concept, right? That we pay a deposit and we receive it back. Well, redemption tells us that, as we'll see in a moment, and we are going to get to our text. Don't worry, Galatians 4, we're going to get there, okay? I promise. We're going to get there. And Sabrina's going to come up in a moment and read that. But I want to set the stage. But redemption, we understand the concept. But the Bible term goes so much deeper, as we'll see in just a little bit. But you might say before we even get started, you might say, well, why do I need to be redeemed? I'm not such a bad person. I'm certainly better than some people, and I know I'm better than the person sitting next to me. I know some of the things that they've done. I mean, I'm a pretty good person. Why do I need to be redeemed? I mean, what's wrong with me? Well, look at your notes, and before we get to our text, Ephesians chapter 2, are you there? Right there on your notes, it says, as for you, you were what? Dead. Circle that word dead. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and your sins. You see, we've got to begin there. We've got to realize that because of the fall, because of my sin, I was born dead. I was born spiritually dead. I wasn't just sick. I wasn't just, you know, a little bit off track. I was dead. I was dead. I was dead in my sins and my transgressions, in which you used to live, Paul says, when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who now is at work in those who are disobedient. So that's important that we begin there. I need to be redeemed because I was born dead. I was dead in my sin. Can you remember that? You remember that day before you knew the Lord and you were dead. You were dead in your sin. We weren't just sick, we were dead. We weren't just a little off track, we were totally lost. We weren't just a bit in trouble. The Bible says we were slaves to sin. And this, it's so important we begin there. You see, that's why we have to understand the fall. We fell into sin and we couldn't fix ourselves, we couldn't save ourselves, we couldn't do anything about it. We were helpless in our sin, we were dead in our sin. But at just the right time, God sent Jesus to redeem us from our sin. You see, this is good news today, and I hope you get it this morning. I want you to tell you right now that it wouldn't bother me if you said amen a lot today, because there's some good news this morning, okay? So it's not going to scare me if you do that. You see, and so we need to begin by understanding that we are dead in our sin. We need to begin there. And here's a good illustration. It's just our human nature. Our gratitude is based on what's been done for us. So let's think of it this way. If after the service today you said, Pastor, I need a dollar, and I gave you a dollar, you would hopefully be grateful for that dollar. Amen? If you came to me after service and said, Pastor, I need $10 million, and I gave you $10 million, which I don't have, by the way, having your gratitude would probably be a little bit higher than just for the $1. And so we understand this idea of redemption. We've really got to drill down and understand, you know, I was dead in my sin. I was helpless. I was broke and I could not fix myself. I couldn't get a priest. I couldn't get a government official. I couldn't get a committee together. I couldn't pass a law. There was nothing I could do to fix myself. I was dead in my sin. And so my gratitude ought to go off the charts because I realized that I was helpless. I was hopeless. I had no hope if Jesus hadn't come and taken my place on the cross. Amen. I think you're starting to get it. Hang in there. We'll get it. We'll get it sooner or later. All right. You see, Jesus didn't die for pretty good people. He died for sinners. Amen. Let's stand together. Sabrina, would you come and read our text this morning? I told you we'd get there. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. And we're going to see what God says about this wonderful gift of redemption from Galatians chapter 4. So follow along with Sabrina as she reads it this morning.
Morning. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir.
Amen. I want you to keep your Bibles open as we go through the sermon this morning. Hey, God bless you. You may be seated. Thanks, Sabrina. There's a lot of great stuff we're going to unpack this morning from that text in Galatians chapter 4. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Now, this is a whole separate sermon, but let me just tell you, does anyone like history? Okay, here's a great study for you, okay? Because it wasn't a coincidence that Jesus was born when he was born. God brought Jesus into this world at just the right time, as you see here in Galatians 4, when the time had fully come. And so if you study history, you might know that there was peace, there was one language around the world, there was roads that Rome had built. Everything was just right in place for Jesus to come. It wasn't an accident. If you say, well, he had to be born in 1 AD. No, never mind. I'm not going to get into that. But if you like history, you might want to look into that because it wasn't random. Jesus came at just the right time. But let's talk about redemption. Number one, redeemed. I am adopted as God's son. You see there in verse 5, Jesus came to what? To redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. Let's talk about the benefits of redemption this morning. I'm adopted as a son of God. Think about that. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are a son, you are a daughter of God. Now we think of adoption as babies or children. We think about adopting babies or children into our homes, and that's certainly appropriate. But in their culture, oftentimes they would adopt full-grown men into their family. And the reason for that is because, you might remember this from our series in Ruth, if you didn't have children of your own, you had to adopt someone into your family to be your heir. The land had to stay in the family. And so if you were childless or you didn't have a son to pass the land on to, you would adopt someone to be your son. And so you would adopt someone, say, you know, as an adult, you could be adopted into someone's family. And you're thinking, wow, I wish Bill Gates would adopt me into his family, okay? That's a whole different topic. But sometimes a man will be adopted to become the heir of the family. And so this idea of being adopted even as an adult is something we see here in the Bible. To redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. Now, how did God redeem us? What was going on here? Well, Peter adds to this idea of adoption or redemption by telling us the price that was paid. And look at there in your notes. I've got it in the back side of your notes there in 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter says, for you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you but from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. You catch what Peter's saying here? You see, in their Jewish culture, they knew what it was like to bring a lamb or to bring a goat as a sacrifice for their sin. But Peter said, hold on here. Jesus' blood is not the same as that. It's the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. That's what you redeem by. So we look at the cross, and we understand that when Jesus came to the cross, he shed his blood for us, and his blood redeemed us. His blood brought us back out of sin and into God's family. That's why the cross is a symbol of our faith. That's why the cross is so important and so central, because at the cross, Jesus shed his precious blood for us that we might be bought back, that we might be redeemed, that we may be brought back to life through his blood. Again, in their Old Testament system, they would bring animals for sacrifice. They would bring animals to the temple to be sacrificed. That's why we don't do that today. Aren't you thankful you didn't have to bring a goat with you to church this morning? I'm thankful too. The carpet is thankful you didn't bring a goat with you to church this morning. You see, we don't live under that system anymore, because once for all, the precious blood of Jesus has redeemed us from our sins. Now listen, if our value is based on what was paid for us, our value is incredible. What are you worth? What's your value? Well, listen, follow the logic here. If God sent his son Jesus to shed his blood to save you, that means you're valuable. That means you're precious. Now, not in a way that would build your ego and say, well, yeah, I'm really something special. Well, you are, but really the idea here is that you are valuable because Jesus' blood was shed to redeem you from your sins. Don't let anyone tell you that you're not valuable. Don't let anyone tell you that you're not worth anything to God. God cares about you so much that he sent his only son to shed his blood for you. To be adopted as his son. It goes on here a little bit more in verse number 6. It says, because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. The spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Wow. How do I know I've been redeemed? I've been redeemed because I have the Holy Spirit in my life. The Holy Spirit is the proof. The Holy Spirit is the seal. The Holy Spirit is the mark of my redemption. You might remember this summer we did a series early this summer on the Holy Spirit and some of the ready, we call it Ready for More. We talked about some of the word pictures of the Holy Spirit. And one of them was the Holy Spirit is the seal. He's the proof. He's the mark that I'm a follower of Jesus. You see, the proof that you belong to God, that you've been redeemed, isn't that you go to church. It's not that you look a certain way or you drive a certain kind of car or you have a certain sort of hairstyle or none of that stuff that matters. It's nothing outward. It's all about the inward change that God has made in your life. And the proof of your redemption is, do you have the Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit in you? You know, for Paul, the question isn't, well, are you saved? Although he uses that word saved. Have you prayed a prayer? Have you come to the altar? Those are all good things, don't get me wrong. But for Paul, the proof was, do you have the Spirit? Because the Spirit is the seal. He's the mark. He's the proof. And we see it here. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So ask yourself the question, and that's that next fill-in right there, is do you have the Spirit? Do you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, working within you? Do you feel his tug at your heart? Do you feel the ministry of the Spirit within you? Do you know that he's there? That's the sign of redemption. And that Spirit calls out what? Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Now, we're not talking about the pop music group from the 70s, if you remember the 70s and the band Abba. The word Abba is the first word a baby might say in Aramaic, the language that Jesus spoke. Abba, dada, mama, Abba. And the Spirit within us calls out to the Father with that sort of language. It's not formal. It's not, you know, it's language of family. It's language of closeness and intimacy. And, you know, in their culture, Now, in the culture I was raised in, and maybe yours as well, that you kind of outgrow that. You know, you get to a certain age, you quit calling your mom, mommy, or mama. You know, you call her mother, or mom, or something maybe more formal. And so maybe your culture is the same, maybe it's different. But in their culture, Abba, Father, was a title used throughout all of life. You could be a 50-year-old man, if you had an 80-year-old dad, you'd still call him Abba, you'd still call him Daddy. Dad. That was a term of endearment and of affection and relationship. And what Paul is saying here is that the Spirit within us calls out to God our Father in the most intimate and personal and relational words imaginable. Abba, Daddy, Dada. Now, not disrespectfully, not flippantly, there's still a sense of reverence and awe, but the sense of wonder that God would adopt me as his son and invite me to call him Daddy, invite me to call him Abba Father, invite me to call him, you know, just in that closest personal word we could think of. Why? Because I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Number three, let's go on, it gets better. Redeemed, I am no longer a slave to sin. Amen. Aren't you glad you don't need to be a slave to sin? Wow. Verse 7, don't miss it. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir. Maybe you remember the day when you were a slave to sin. I hope you do just a little bit. You see, we were slaves to sin. So much of the significance of redemption is lost if we forget that. If we don't remember that we were dead in our sins. We were slaves to sin before we were redeemed. We weren't just sick, we were dead. One of the lies in our culture, see if you can relate to this. One of the lies of our culture is this, that true freedom is freedom to do whatever you want. Freedom to sin. Maybe you see it in young people. They say, well, I'm going to grow up and I'm going to get out of the house. Maybe they're raised in a godly house. And now that I don't have mom or dad breathing down my neck, I am free to do whatever I want. And true freedom is a freedom to party, to drink, to smoke marijuana, to be sexually immoral, to look at pornography, whatever it is. I am free. I can do whatever I want. And the lie of our world is that true freedom is freedom to sin. That is a deadly, deadly lie. You know what true freedom is? True freedom is a freedom from sin. When you say, you know, I don't have to do that. I don't have to drink alcohol to have a good time. I don't have to smoke marijuana. I don't have to be sexually immoral. God, I don't have to live that kind of life. And true freedom is a freedom from sin. You know why? Because the freedom to sin, if the Bible is very clear that when I sin, I become a slave to sin. We think, well, I'm free to do whatever I want. I'm free to be, let's just use the example maybe of sexually immoral. I'm free to sleep with whoever I want and do whatever I want. Until we realize that that is not true freedom. Why? Because now we find ourselves becoming a slave to that sin. And now that sin has got control of our life. And now we can't do the right thing. We can't even do what we want to do because we've become a slave to that sin. And we think freedom is freedom to sin. Friend, I'm here to tell you, freedom is freedom from sin. And our world tells, especially our young people, well, you just need to go out and experience life, and now you're free. You can drink alcohol to excess, and you can smoke marijuana or do drugs, whatever. You're free to do that. Until they don't tell the truth is that you become a slave to sin. And now what happens? You wake up, and you need to have a drink. You wake up, and you need to find a sexual partner. You wake up, and you're bound into this sin, and that's not freedom. That you're a slave to sin. And to realize here that the fact is when I'm redeemed, I've got freedom from sin. If you're redeemed, you've got the Spirit in you. You know what? I'm not saying you walk in perfection, that you never stumble and fall, but you realize, you know what? I don't have to do that. I'm not a slave to that anymore. I'm not a slave to drugs anymore. I don't have to take those drugs. I don't have to gossip. I don't have to lie. I don't have to steal. I don't have to do all these things that I used to do. Why? Because God has set me free. He's redeemed me. And that's true freedom. Are you getting that this morning? And we see it so much in our culture, this idea that, well, freedom to just, you know, no boundaries, no rules, do whatever you want. And that what is not told to people is the moment you live that way, you become a slave to that sin. If you don't believe me, look at Romans chapter 7. I think it'll be here on the screen. Yeah, put it on the screen. Romans chapter 6. I'm sorry, Romans 6. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. That's exactly what we're saying this morning. Paul says, if you offer yourselves, again, use any example you want, but let's just use, let's use alcohol, drinking alcohol to excess. You begin to do that. You know what? It's obvious that you become a slave to that sin. You offer yourself to that, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. So, the fact is, when I'm redeemed, I've got the freedom to say no to sin. That's freedom, friends. That's freedom to say, you know what? I don't need to do that anymore. I don't live that way anymore because I've got the Spirit within me because I've been bought with the blood of Jesus. Amen. Well, that's good stuff. Let's move on here. It goes on even further. It says, what God has done for us in Jesus is it changes from a slave to a child. Think about that. You know, when you're a child of the King, when you're a child of God, you've got family privileges, you belong, you've got a seat at the table, you've got an inheritance, you're a part of the family. A slave has none of that. And so because of the redemption that he provides for us on the cross, we go from being a slave to sin to a child of God. And Jesus summed it up this way. It's in your notes there, Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a what? Ransom for many. So we're talking about redemption this morning, but another word might even be ransom. Jesus ransomed us from sin. Jesus paid the price for our sin, not just to redeem us, but he ransomed us. We know what that word means. We've been ransomed from slavery. That's an exciting thought. He bought us with his blood. Well, let me wrap it up. Number four, redemption also means not only am I no longer a slave to sin, but it goes one step even further. Point number four, redeemed, I am now an heir of all that God has. Amen. Look at verse 7, the end of verse 7. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Now, if you think about this too much, you will have smoke coming out of your ears. It's mind-boggling. In fact, we're going to come back and talk about this next week because it's such a big topic and it's all wrapped up into the restoration, which we'll talk about next Sunday. But I want you just to begin to think about that our Father is wealthy. Our Father is rich. Your name is in the will. Jesus said you are you're no longer a slave, you're a child, and because you're a child, you are an heir of all that God has. Amen. I don't care how much is in your checking account today, you are wealthy. If you know the Lord. Amen. Praise God. You see, the Bible says, and we'll talk about this more next week, but the Bible says in eternity we will rule and reign with him. Remember 2 weeks ago, the Garden of Eden. You know, in the Garden of Eden, Adam worked, and Adam walked with God, and Adam discovered new animals and new plants, and Adam enjoyed his wife Eve, and they lived in just perfect conditions, and they just had a wonderful relationship with God. God would come and speak with them in the cool of the day. We have no idea what that was like, but I'm sure it was wonderful. Adam worked, but it wasn't toil. It was enjoyable. An eternity future will be a time when we serve God. We will rule and reign with him over all that he has. Now, do I know exactly what that means? No, not exactly. But we do know that everything that God has, we become an heir of that, and we will rule and reign with him forever and ever and ever. And heaven is not a place where we'll sit on clouds and play harps and eat Three Musketeers candy bars, okay? Nothing against Three Musketeers candy bars. I like those. They're pretty good. But we have this idea in our culture that heaven is boring, that heaven is just kind of, you know, sitting on a cloud. I don't want to play a harp. Do you? I don't know. It just doesn't sound like a good time to me. The Bible talks about that we're going to rule and reign. We are heirs of all that he has. Why? Because we are no longer slaves. We are his children. Why? Because we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. So we say things like this, that Christ is our Redeemer. He came to buy us back out of our sin. You have value. If God didn't love you, if God didn't see value in you, he would have left you in your sin. He would have left you as a slave. But he said, no, I see value in you. I see value in that person. I'm going to send my son Jesus to buy them back. Don't let anyone tell you that you're not valuable to God, that you don't matter to God. You're no longer a slave, you're a child, even more than a child, you are an heir of all that God has. So the fall, God created everything, and the fall ruined everything, but the death of Jesus on the cross made redemption possible, and that's good news for us today. If you know the Lord, to say, Lord, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for redeeming me. Again, he could have left me in that pit of sin. He could have left me to become to stay as a slave to sin, but God said, I love you too much to leave you where you are. So I want you to hear this morning loud and clear as we close today, that you are loved by God. You're valuable to God. And the proof is the price that was paid to redeem you. It wasn't a 5-cent deposit on a bottle of water. It was the precious blood of his son Jesus that was paid to redeem you from your sins. Amen. So let me wrap it up. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I want you to know that you belong to him. You're not weak. You're not ungodly. You're not a sinner. You're not, live like you are redeemed. You are his child. He has adopted you. You are his heir. You've been redeemed. We ought to rejoice in who we are in Christ. I see too many believers, and sometimes I fall into it myself. You kind of run yourself down. You say, well, I'm no good. I can't do this. I can't do that. And listen, quit that. Knock it off. Read the word. Understand what God says about you, that you are redeemed, that you're no longer a slave to sin. You're a child of God. And not only that, but you're an heir of all that God has. And one of the best tools of the enemy is to kind of get on your shoulder and say, well, God doesn't really care about you. You're bad at this. You can't do that. Remember what you did. Just quit listening to that and get into the word. And take this text. One of the reasons why I give you these notes is so hopefully you'll look at it over the week and take it and say, Lord, thank you for redeeming me. You paid the ultimate price, the blood of your son, Jesus Christ, to save me from my sins. I'm no longer a slave to sin, but I'm free to serve you and free to walk with you. If you aren't a follower of Jesus Christ, I want you to know that God has shown you his great love. Christ died for you. And this morning, if you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, don't wait. Don't delay. Today is the day to say, Lord, thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. I want to accept that gift of salvation. And you can reach out and receive that and believe it today. Amen. So here we are. Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. Where are we? We're right between circle 3 and 4, right? Creation is past. The fall is past. Redemption has happened and is present. And restoration is coming. It may come before next Sunday. I may not be able to finish this series. If Jesus returns this week, we'll finish this series in heaven. Amen. But if not, we'll talk about what God has for us in the future and understand that he's got a great plan, because we are not slaves to sin. We are children of God, and even more, we are heirs of all that God has for us. Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? As the worship team comes to play for us, would you take a moment and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart? Perhaps you're struggling today, and it's been a theme even through worship of realizing that God hasn't forgotten about us. God knows us. God cares about us. And maybe you just need to grab a hold of that truth today. Say, Lord, thank you. You've redeemed me. You've paid the ultimate price to save me. Maybe you've been in a cycle of believing the lie that you're not valuable to God, that God doesn't care about you, that God's forgotten about you. And today God's brought you here to hear this truth and to set your heart on fire with the message that you are a child of God. You've got the Spirit within you, and you call out to him, Abba, Father, because you've got that close relationship with him. If that's you today, you say, Pastor, I want that. I need that. I need to be that reminder in my life, not just today, but throughout this week. Would you just lift up your hand and say, yes, pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me. Amen. Amen. Lots of hands are going up today. Let me ask you one other question before we pray. You say, Pastor, I've never given my life to Jesus. I've never heard the gospel presented like this, and I know that I want to make sure that I'm right with God. I want to make sure that I give my life to him, that I have been redeemed, and I give my heart to him. I feel like I'm a slave to sin, but I want to become his son, his daughter. If that's you today, today's the day you can reach out and receive that salvation. If that's you today, would you just lift up your hand and we can pray together about that. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your honesty this morning. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for your wonderful word that speaks to our hearts today. Lord, we come to passages like this one, and it's just mind-boggling, and I feel so inadequate, Lord, to try to share the gospel because it's so rich and so wonderful and so deep. But Father, I pray you take your word and apply it to our hearts. Some of us, Lord, need assurance of our salvation. We need to make sure that we're right with you. Others of us, Lord, have maybe been beaten up by the enemy, and we've given into the lie that says we're not valuable, that we don't matter. But Lord, remind us that our value comes from the price that was paid for us, and that's the precious blood of your son, Jesus. Each person under the sound of my voice is so valuable to you, God, because you sent your son, Jesus, to save us from our sin. Lord, help us to believe your word, not the lie of the devil. Help us, Lord, to believe your word, not that voice that would condemn us or accuse us. You love us. You care about us. You've redeemed us. You've bought us back. We no longer have to be a slave to sin. Lord, help us to build our lives on that truth, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm not sure.